kickers and punters the same questions all day, or the same guys all day. So I go in there with a little bit of a couple jokes or some sarcasm in there, get them chuckling a little bit. So get them on my side, maybe.
Do you have any examples so far of it?
It's kind of, you just kind of take what they say and kind of turn it around a little bit, or joke about what they're talking about, or some of the experiences they're asking about, things like that.
What do you think they're looking for the most when they're talking to you, or what are they kind of, any trends you see?
Everybody wants to know if you've ever been arrested or you got a kid, which is a good no. And, see, just like that, you just turn an interview right around from serious to fun. But they all want to know, you know, if I miss, what do I miss? When I do miss, do I know what I'm doing wrong? How easy can it be fixed? Confidence, that sort of thing. What am I doing to work out, stay in shape, kicking shape, and overall shape?
On the miss question, what do you answer?
Most of my misses this year were right, pushed right by a couple feet, and you know, you just talk to them a little bit of technique and things like that.
What's your take on this whole process, this whole 3 days? It can be intimidating. I think a lot of guys take it as pressure packed. What's your take?
Yeah, you hear the words cattle drive a lot around here, poking and prodding at you, telling you where to go, yanking on your knees and shoulders. I've heard about it, obviously talked to Kerrigan from last year about it, and but I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time with it. As long, you know, you keep up tempo and a good smile on, everybody seems like they're having a good time anyway, whether they're yanking on you or not.
And for you, it's really all about accuracy. All this other stuff really doesn't make that much of a difference, does it?
No, it doesn't. I walked into one of the rooms and they said, Carson Wicks, place kicker, not working out or running. And everybody goes, why the hell not? Like, I was told not to. So as long as I put it through the uprights, I think it'll be okay.
But here to represent, the only Purdue player here, no IU players, that means a little bit.
Yeah, I think it means more that there's no IU players than me being the only Purdue player. That makes you a little bit happier.
Does it make this process easier, too, that your college is so close and you're familiar with the area?
Oh, yeah. I had such a hard time getting to the Senior Bowl. It's unbelievable. I had to stay overnight in a hotel. But everyone's talking about, you know, we do get a lot of free stuff from Under Armour, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So everyone's going to be checking two or three bags on the way back. And I'm just going to throw it in the trunk for an hour drive back. So it makes it a lot easier.
We said that Kerrigan has given you some advice. What are some of the things that he's told you?
I wouldn't say more advice. I'd say more just kind of what to look out for, the process, what the doctors are be looking for, what are they going to be asking, how to handle different situations, be prepared for long days like waking up at 5 a.m. every day, and just kind of how to handle different situations or what to be ready for.
The opportunity to play in the NFL, is that something that's been out there for how long for you?
Actually, senior year when I was getting recruited, junior when I was getting recruited, you know, I've always been the soccer fan and things like that. When I realized football was working out for me, I had a chance at college level. Of course, the NFL creeped in the back of my mind. It's just been getting bigger ever since.
And it's a real opportunity, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. A lot of people are saying seventh round draft maybe, and that just blows my mind that I even have a chance to get drafted. Watching all those guys at, in New York getting drafted, obviously not going to be there, but just seeing that kind of situation that I have a chance to be in the similar shoes that they are is very exciting.
And as a kicker to get drafted as well, I think that means a lot more too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I probably have to say that it has a lot to do with me going down kickoff and helping tackle guys, but I think the field goal accuracy and the leg strength helps a little bit too.
Yeah, ultimately, you say it comes down to accuracy. Is the fact that you just have to go show guys your skills, does that fall in your comfort zone?
It does. Yeah, it's something I've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years now. I've kind of perfected the art, if you will. You know, I can tell where the ball's going to go as soon as I hit it without even looking up. And it's all about feeling. And I'm feeling good now, kicking Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I've been feeling better than I have in the last 4 years, actually.
Have you stayed at Purdue to train? Or?
I have. I'm still at Purdue taking 12 hours, okay. Actually.
What, how, you know, your leg strength, you have to feel pretty kind. Is that your biggest attribute, you think? I mean, you've obviously, you know, 5 longest field goals in the spring game. Is that what you try to sell the teams, or how do you sell yourself?
Yeah, they always ask what do you think your main strength is, and I always throw out leg strength. I say accuracy as well. My overall accuracy for my career is right at 74%. So a lot of people might argue that, but I've had, I would say, more kicks over 50 than most people have. And though, you know, those are lower percentage kicks, a couple tries from 60, and you know, those are hard kicks to make. So those kind of kicks drop my averages down, a couple block kicks in the past. So I would definitely say accuracy is a big strength for me as well.
But wasn't it kind of fun at Purdue when you knew that Coach Hope throw you out there in any situation? I mean, once you guys hit the 50, people were talking about,
oh yeah,
you know, Carson might come out. What do you think about that?
It's very exciting. You know, we'll, Coach Hope and I always talk about it in the offseason. He goes, oh, I'm going to throw you out there, you know, with his accent, however he talks. But So we always talk about it. We talk about the spring game, how we're going to go out there. We're going to try to show people that we can set the record. So we went out there and we did it, and it's just nice to know that in the game, it's always in the back of his mind saying, no, we can throw Carson out there if we want to.
But from the mental aspect, you've got the leg, mentally, from going to the NFL, how can you possibly prepare for that job? What do you do?
I'm not sure if there's a lot more preparing to do. I've kicked in some of the biggest venues in the Big House, Ohio State, the night games, you name it. I've had the chances at the game-winning kicks and, you know, the easy extra points and or the higher percentage field goals. I don't think there's a whole lot of mental preparation. I think it's just going out there and making sure my technique's the same way every single kick.
Does it benefit you at all that you have experience as a punter as well?
Yeah, a lot of guys are, I always sit down at the table and say, oh, we finally get a dual threat guy, which is good for me to hear, man. That makes me happy that they're actually noticing that. And, you know, it's mostly the Australian style sky kick or push kick or whatever you want to call it. And but I can punt. I showed that in the bowl game. I had a really nice punt at the end of the game there. So it's just nice for them to know that I can still do that and step in. If I do make a team, that if a punter does get hurt or they need someone to step in, I can do that and get it done.
Is this more about just getting a chance to show what you do rather than worrying about the draft?
It is. It does affect it, I think. But for the most part, you know, these guys are going to get able to see us in person. They can actually see the ball jump off our foot, see how high it is in person instead of just watching film, which I'm sure they've watched thousands of hours of film. But getting able to actually see in person, I think, is what's going to help us the most.
What would you say if Purdue was the most pressure?
Ooh, I would say sophomore year against Ohio State at home when they were number 6, and we knocked them off that year. I had a couple pressure kicks at halftime, a 55-yarder against the wind to put us up by 2, I think, at halftime. It was a huge momentum swing for us, and I think that's one of the kicks I remember the most.
Can you envision kicking the pressure in the NFL? You know what that might be like?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'd probably be the same or the similar kick. Just focus on your technique and not worry about what's going on around you. Say it again, those venues like the Big House in Ohio State or even Oregon, those places that are so loud, I've been successful in those places, and I think that can carry over to the NFL.
Sometimes you got some scrutiny just because of message boards and whatnot. Having a special teams coach, how did that help you? Where a lot of teams, you know, don't necessarily have a specific coach that just focuses all on that.
Yeah, I think it helps him more, I would say, with drill work and actually videoing. He had the capabilities to bring in some different video software that would actually help us watch our technique frame by frame. And that's a big helping point for us, other than watching it and trying to pause it right on foot contact or try to pause it and try to time it out. You could actually use a mouse and roll it. And he was able to get that kind of software in for us. And being a special teams coordinator, all day he does is watch film on the other team. So as far as game plan, you know, I knew whether we could kick it right or hit a sky kick because this guy's dropped so many balls or he can't catch kicks very well. So I think as far as game plan wise, I think that's what he's really there for.
Have you ever taken lessons or ever been kind of mentored by any professional kickers, retired, current, or anything like that?
Yeah, actually there's 3 different guys. I started off in high school with a guy named Scott Blanton out of the Dallas area where I'm from.
Okay.
And he kicked in the NFL, I think, for 7 years. And we had one-on-one teaching and stuff like that in high school. And then through the later parts of high school, I went to Chris Saylor kicking. He's I guess they call him the kicking guru, and sponsored by Nike. And he does their Vegas camps where they rank guys nationally. That's where I got ranked 3rd. Got a lot of exposure out of that. And then recently, 2 weeks ago, I went to go see a guy named Gary Zahner. And he's another kicking guy who's actually a special teams coordinator in the NFL for, I think, like 13 or 14 years. So if nothing else, he's a contact to get in touch with. You know, he can see you kick and spread the word about you, but he also had a lot of good technique things to say to him.
Do you have spell their last 2 names of these last 2 guys?
Chris Saylor is S-A-I-L-E-R, and then Zahner is Z-A-U-N-E-R.
Do you have any interviews set up with anyone yet? Or?
I don't have any formal interviews set up. You know, we walk in that big room and you kind of just get pulled either way. I guess you don't really need a formal interview.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on it. You know, at Purdue, you were always very well liked by the fans. You know, seemed like kind of a fan favorite. NFL can be a different story if you, you know, shank your first game-winning field goal or something. How do you kind of approach that adjustment to that, you know, where, you know, it's...
Don't miss. You know. But I think the way I developed a relationship with the student section, you know, just kind of, I guess, bluntly say it, having the balls to go over there and just throw the football around with with them, say thanks for coming out, I appreciate it. It means a lot that you guys are out for warm-ups to watch me kick, and I'll see you guys next time. And it just starts with that, and it just grows, and it grows, and then you see the people out on campus, and then it just grows that way. And I think the same thing can happen in the NFL, as long as people can see character, because a lot of times I think people see just a guy who's inside the helmet or on the field. And I think a good example of that is Pat McAfee. He's got all kinds of radio shows now, and he's all on Twitter and all this kind of stuff, and everybody loves him, always trying to get a hold of him and see him speak in person. I think that's just because he's developed such a good relationship, and he's shown that he's a normal person. Like, he's not some awesome like superstar that no one wants to talk to. He's just a guy who you can go out and have a drink with, or a guy you can go out and hang out with. And that's what I'm trying. That's the kind of guy that I'm trying to show everybody that I am. And I think that can carry over well with what you're talking
about. Where is Grand Prairie? Is that near Dallas or Houston?
Yeah, it's right in between. It's right in between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Okay. Were you a Cowboys fan then growing up? Or?
Grew up 20 minutes from the stadium, went to see a bunch of games.
I still were you a kicker at the time when you were a kid? When did you kind of start? You mentioned
I started
soccer.
In seventh grade.
Seventh grade, okay.
I was kicking footballs at least.
All right, who was the kicker for the Cowboys back then? Or did you were you a fan of the kicker even? Or did you
I
really?
I think Vanderjack was a kicker back in those days. He was there for like a year or two, I think.
Okay.
Other than that, I didn't really pay attention a whole lot to it until I got into high school. But I think it was Vanderjack, but now I like to watch. They had a couple guys pass through there the last couple of years.
How does it work in here? Do they just give you a holder of some sort, I assume, or for your kicking drills, or how does that work?
I'm not sure if they pick one for us, or we just say, hey, can you hold my field goals for me? But perfect. It's worked out perfect that Brad Norman, who was at the Senior Bowl, he held for me at the Senior Bowl, so I asked him if he'd hold for me here too. Okay. He said he's all for it. So hopefully that'll work out well, because we've worked together for a week or so now.
Couldn't get Ballinger down here or anything?
No, I couldn't. I don't have that kind of pull around here.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just going to throw a little joke out there.
Oh, now he missed it.
It's irrelevant now. It's irrelevant.
You feel you still learn things about kicking even though you've been doing it as long as you have?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. There's guys kind of teach sometimes completely different things. Chris Taylor, as far as upper body goes and technique, teaches a completely different thing as Gary Zonner does. And Mike Prefer, the special teams coordinator for the Vikings, who I worked with during the Senior Bowl, he had a couple of things to say about technique. And I try to 100% buy into what they're saying, but if it's not working, I'll try to take a piece out of that of what I like and kind of add it to my resume of kicking, I guess you would say, and try to just shape my own style or what works best for me or what I feel works best for me.
What positions did you play when you were just a regular player?
7th through 9th grade, I was actually running back and cornerback.
Okay.
And then freshman, sophomore year was my last year to play corner. And then it was just kicking from then.
I was.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have played some field positions in the back in the good old days. And I think that's why I like going down and trying to make hits and things like that, just because I miss that stuff.
Well, you mentioned McAfee. That's what he's known for, is when he goes and makes tackles.
Yeah.
And 3 punts in the ball.
Yeah, he's the same way, man. He gets after it.
Are you not? I thought I saw on your Twitter page you joked you were going to run the 40. Are you actually not doing that?
Well,
has that gone back and forth?
Special teams coordinator Gibney, he told me that I didn't have to run it. So I've been working out. I've been staying in shape, like more of like long distance running and try to keep the weight down instead of doing the explosive 40 workouts and even the 225. In the summers, I got 14 reps of that, which I've been very happy to bring here, but I haven't been working out like that. So agent called me the night before I came here and was like, hey man, just make sure you bring whatever you're comfortable to work out in and run the 40 in. What?
Do you even know the stance? You know, those guys always do.
Oh, yeah. I instantly went in the hallway of my house and started doing some 40 stances and stars.
Okay.
So, but what had happened was Gibney told me that they do all the workouts before they kick. So, so I didn't want to get in the bench press and strain a back muscle or run the 40 and strain a groin or hamstring.
Do you think it even matters, really? I mean, how fast you're for? I mean,
no, it probably doesn't. But I don't want to go out there when I normally run a 4.8 and run like a 4.95 or something. So. And same thing with the bench. I don't want to go out there when I know I'm capable of 14 reps and throw up 8 because I'm not in shape for a bench press right now.
Sure.
But I will be doing it at my pro day. I'll be doing all of it.
Okay.
So, because I'll be ready then. I won't be misconstrued like I was this time.
Okay.
When's that?
March 9th.
At Purdue.
Do you have any rituals or superstitious stuff you do before you go out and kick?
I don't have any rituals, really, like the put the shoe on the different foot first or anything like that. I do enjoy listening to at least one song of different genres. usually start out with a little bit of country, work my way up to some hip-hop or rap, and then by the time we arrive from the hotel to the stadium, I'm usually rocking out to some rock and roll or something. So a good crescendo, I guess you could say, of music getting me hyped up.
Yeah. Is the kicker's worst fear what happened to Billy Cundiff at the end of the AFC title game? Where you go out there, it's a kick you've made 99 out of 100 times.
I'd say
the biggest moment, you
that's number two, right behind running down on kickoff and having two lead blockers coming at you. That's the worst fear. Second worst fear is missing a game-winning field goal.
What would you say to him if you met him? And is there anything you could say to him at that point, or any other kicker that would be in that situation?
I'd ask him what happened, because I know there's a lot of confusion on the sideline about clocks and game clocks and things like that. I'd ask him what happened, because I've been in similar situations with him. Last kick at the Senior Bowl was a similar situation with a two-minute warning. I missed that one with a bunch of confusion on whether we're going to let it go down or not, and ended up being snapped when we were ready. But I know it happens to everybody. So, I mean, he's the kind of guy who can make that kick 99 times out of 10, or 100, obviously. And I wouldn't even know. I'd have never met Billy, but I feel bad for him because he's a good kicker. He's got good percentages, and that's a kick he always makes.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Carson.
No problem, guys.